on 1116 SEN. Crunch Time. Voted four times most outstanding radio show for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.
Mick is 61, and it's a long season with 5 months to go. One of the questions for Mick is in the review, of whatever scale of review we do, is Mick needs to answer the question, has he got the energy? Does he still have the energy to do it?
Look, I've never been on my knees. I've never knocked on doors. I have no intention of doing either. I am contracted to the end of this year. I would expect a coach at the end of this year. All I know is I'll give my best until my contract's up, and I'm quite content with it.
I'd be disappointed if the players are concerned about their coach. At the end of the day, Mick is contracted to coach this football club until the end of the season, and that will happen.
I would never embarrass the club, nor my team, nor my players, to hang on when I don't think that I can do that either.
You can call it what you like. Rebuild, re-engineer, reshape our list so that we're a dominant football club.
Inadvertently, whether it be the club or the press, have said that we're rebuilding. Well, that's a big hurdle to overcome mentally.
I think the CEO's been made look like a fool with what Mick Malthouse did yesterday at the press conference. I think Mick's embarrassing them all.
We've been very much on the same tram all the way through the summer, all through the pre-season in terms of where our list is at, where we're going with it, and what our messaging is, and that's why it just took me a little bit by surprise yesterday, because we are clear that we've got a lot of work to do, and however you phrase it, and we chose to use that word collectively and with Mick earlier in the season, so I was just a little bit surprised. So we'll clarify that over the next day or so.
Let me just assure you this, there's no fight between me and Stephen, there's no fight between me and the board. It's just that the end result is the player group haven't responded to it.
So blue, Mick says he'll keep fighting, but as the messages get further mixed and the club falls deeper into the mire, it just seems a matter of time after another thrashing on Friday night footy. Our experts will tell us what they think will happen and how it's all gone wrong, and one of the Blues leaders, Bryce Gibbs, will front up shortly.
Got a lot of guys who are starting to break through that 50-game barrier who are starting to feel a little bit more comfortable, but we've been relatively confident in their ability for, you know, a season or two now. But it's a big step from contributing every now and again to taking control of the destiny of the team, and that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're trying to fast-track. But the signs from tonight, if we look at this game in isolation, were really pleasing.
The Cats put four quarters together to get to 4-4 on the back of their kids. One of their stars will join us.
We've had knocks in the past, but really now we rely heavily on the medical advice. Nick himself, I know, is not probably thinking that way, and when he gets the appropriate medical clearance, he'll be back playing.
I wasn't playing well. I mean, I'd sort of had probably 3 or 4 weeks where I was battling a bit, and I just thought probably for the team and for myself it was best to go down and get a bit of form and earn my spot back in the team.
Whether it be the proposed bidding system, whether it be future trading, or even the proposed changes, free agency, I think the AFL should be applauded, and the AFLPA, because we need to increase fluidity in player movement, and that's not just between clubs, that's within a club list as well.
In the crunch, we ask all the questions that matter on and off the field, including the Demons, Port Adelaide, the Eagles, the Father-Son Bidding Academy, the power of the Giants, and we ask if Fremantle will have the first loss of their season tonight. From the moment they won last year's flag, so many things went wrong, but they were on a mission, and in the end, nobody and nobody could stop them. Mission accomplished. And in our spotlight today, we analyse the grand final rematch. What do the Swans need to do to reverse the Hawks' dominance over them? It's another big edition of Crunch Time, massive in fact, with thanks to Ringwood Mazda, because when it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. Yes, good morning everyone, and welcome to Crunch Time. As always, with thanks to our great friends at Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. There's always a great deal for you every Saturday. We'll give you some more details on that, but let's get into the footy. And our team has assembled, lacing up the boots today, back in Melbourne, Mark Robinson and Terry Wallace, sitting in for Derm, who's off to Perth. And we'll say good morning to those gentlemen first of all. Robbo, welcome to you. We'll try that again.
Sorry, g'day Kingy.
G'day lads.
And obviously, Robbo, it's a massive story in footy, the Mick Malthouse story.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think it was a massive story two weeks ago, which just grown and grown and grown, and what we all saw last night was a sign of a football club, and I heard you, King, on Fox Footy. It's a sign of a football club who is looking for a new coach, and I think Mick's looking for an out.
More on that in a moment. Terry Wallace has walked those steps at a club, and it'll be interesting to hear your thoughts on what it's like, Terry, but also where to from here, as you now are the list expert, and there's plenty to discuss on that front as well. Great to have you with us today, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Hutto, Kingy, and obviously Robbo back here at Etihad. It's fascinating, isn't it, where this goes, and I suppose my own experience is when it happens so early in a season, that's what makes it more difficult, Hutto. It plays out for such a long time. If it starts falling apart and it's round 15, 16, I think you can hang on.
Yep.
And I think the club can sort of hang on. But when you're only a month into the season and the finish line is so far away, and now we've just marched on from the month, but certainly mine was, I knew after 4 weeks that mine was gone.
The Melbourne game.
Yeah, and I think, and in all honesty, I think Mick probably was exactly the same this time around. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the whole thing rolls out.
All right, alongside me here up in Queensland, we're at Metricon. I'm going to watch Gold Coast and Collingwood later on this afternoon. There's a man who's been nominated for the Australian Sleeping on Planes team. He actually was asleep before I sat down. He was asleep, and I had to prod him with a gentleman's walking cane who was next to me to wake him up long after the bells had rung. Welcome, Kingy.
Well, I can represent Australia in Sleeping on Planes. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be a big morning. I'm looking forward to discussing the last night's events, particularly with Terry, because I think, Terry, having heard what you just said then, what round did you finish up? Can you recall what round it actually was that you finished up?
Oh, I don't know exactly, but it would have been roughly about round 12 or 13, somewhere around that mark. But we had regular discussions, Kingy, from round 4 onwards about when the exit was going to be and how it was going to look.
Did you think in that 8-week, 9-week period that there was anything gained while you're staying as coach?
Nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. And after round 4 of that year, I actually went to the club and said that from that stage onwards, I didn't think that they were going to do themselves any favours, and certainly they weren't going to do me or my family any favours. The club at that stage sort of believed that it was too far from round 4 to go all the way with an interim coach, so they actually asked me at that stage to stick around and try to tough it.
Take another bullet.
And that's what you were being paid for. But you're absolutely right, Kingy. From round 4, once the players knew that I wasn't going to be their coach that was going to take them forward, from round 4 to that round 12, 13 stage was just dead air time.
What do you think they should do, Hutto?
Oh, well, look, just before I answer that, and I think they have to do something. It's got to the stage now where we all know it's going to happen. So it is a matter of time. Let's just play Mick from last night. We could play the whole press conference, and it was fascinating to listen and to watch Mick. But let's just have a listen to the first couple of minutes of his press conference last night. He was certainly not going out lightly, that's for sure.
Look, after that sort of a game, are you concerned that, or are you worried that the club could make a call on your future in the coming days?
No, not at all.
So you still believe you're on the same page, Mick?
Absolutely, totally on the same page.
So nothing's changed. They've said to you that, again, as Mark has said countless times, that you...
No, they haven't come in after the game, which they don't do, and start talking about the coach. We talk about the players and see how the game went.
Closely aligned to the rebuild message back in round 2, or do you feel that was a message from the board?
I am totally in line with it. I know exactly where we are. I made the comment inadvertently when it becomes a public, in the public forum, the impact on the players. So that hasn't changed. I'm in total alignment with the football club, in particular Stephen. I think I totally understand where he's coming from. Totally understand that he is the right person to lead the club in a manner that he wants to lead us. And I'm. Let me say this also. Not in total agreement. I am fully behind him, because that's where the club's got to go. But I also know that when those words are mentioned, and it's mentioned to the media, and it's mentioned to the supporters. If I could just say, Jake, but also the player group get hold of it. And that's probably not the word that they need. But
nonetheless, it is the truth. It is absolutely the truth. It is exactly what I think needs to happen. And it's exactly on the same line as the football club.
Mick, have you communicated with Stephen today? Have you had conversations about...
I have a meeting with Stephen every match day.
Have you had a discussion about what we've just been talking about clarifying what was meant?
Yeah, and we have. It's not... There's nothing new come out of this. I mean, you know, this statement has been out for 6 or 7 weeks. It's not new, and I totally agree with it. But I'm just saying that the player group themselves have felt the pinch.
One of the problems for Carlton has been that the messages have been mixed. This is Stephen Trigg from last night, both on Channel 7 and Fox Footy.
Is there a rift between yourself and the coach of the Carlton Footy Club?
Absolutely not, Steve-O. We've been very much on the same tram all the way through the summer, all through the pre-season in terms of where our list is at, where we're going with it and what our messaging is. And that's why it just took me a little bit by surprise yesterday, because we are clear that we've got a lot of work to do, and however you phrase it, and we chose to use that word collectively and with Mick earlier in the season. So I was just a bit surprised. So we'll clarify that over the next day or so.
At the start of the season, we set ourselves for the second half of the year to put it on the agenda at the board and make an assessment about continuation with our senior coach in terms of renewal or otherwise. And as it sits at the moment, my understanding is that remains the same.
So it remains the same, but he was saying last night that it basically after the bye was what he was hinting at, Stephen Trigg. And just a small thing, I mean, it was odd that Stephen Trigg said that he would talk about it with Mick, that he hadn't talked about it with Mick, and yet Mick said they had talked about it. Now, it's only a small thing, but it's part of the whole problem here, isn't it?
He's being disingenuous last night, Mick Malthouse. To say that he inadvertently put it on the public record. I mean, the conversation...
No, I don't think he was saying he inadvertently put... He was saying...
No, he said he inadvertently said it on Friday.
Oh, that's not how I read his comment. I read his comment saying inadvertently the club put it out there. There was nothing inadvertent about it. It was...
No, I didn't take it as that, mate. He goes, I inadvertently put it on the record on Friday. Seriously, come on, let's cut to the chase. It's over. It's over. And then this is going to be a bad... It is a bad breakup. It is absolutely over.
When will it happen, Robbo?
I wouldn't be surprised, and I wrote this this morning, Hutto, I wouldn't be surprised if it was before the end of the weekend. I mean, Stephen Trigg, good on him. Full congratulations to him for what he did last night. To go on radio pre-game and then speak to Fox and Channel 7 post-game, I thought, good on you. But he was PR spin 101 last night after the game, and I don't know what else he could do, but he did it. And I'm sitting there listening to myself and going, seriously, this is what is coming out to the public right now. Everything's okay. Everything's not okay.
Well, I'm not sure what the point of coming on if you've got nothing to say is in some cases, Robbo. But are they tied now? I mean, Mark Legidio, what, 3 times he's said it publicly, he's going to stay to the end of the year. Now that doesn't matter, does it? I mean, they just have to make their best decision from here, surely.
The goalposts have moved significantly in the last two weeks, 3 weeks. When Mark Legutashay first said it, which was an interview with me, which is great, and he said it again after a bad loss, and he said it again after another bad loss. Mark Legutashay can't say that anymore. The goalposts have moved. I actually think now that Mark Legutashay has to show great leadership, and he's actually got to address this weekend and say, right, this can't go on. I know I said 3 times he's going to be coached at the end of the year, but we can't do that anymore. It can't go on. It can't go on.
We all know it. It's embarrassing, Robbo. And the problem they've got now is they're having to answer questions that are difficult to answer without saying this is exactly what we're going to do. So you end up telling little furfies here and there and your half-truth here and, you know, you protect Mick here and then you don't protect him there. He does the same. And all of a sudden...
It's impossible to do a proper interview, isn't it?
You can't. It is impossible. The situation now is impossible to go forward with. And unfortunately, all this is going to do is give Mick a really poor end to what's been an amazing coaching career.
Kingy, you were really strong last night on Fox Footy about the CEO. You said that he'd been made to look like a fool. Do you want to just expand on that a little?
Well, he came on Crunch Time 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and questioned whether Mick had the energy at his age to coach. Now, that was, to me, the start of a really poor messaging publicly for Mick and for the Carlton Footy Club, because Mick's got the energy. We all know that, but it was half an out from Stephen at that stage that maybe if the decision wasn't to go his way, well, this is one way we can say, you know, we can slide him out the back door nicely. He took that back. He retracted that the next day. He did the same thing again yesterday when he went on radio pre-game and spoke about the fact that, you know, oh, there may come a tipping point. That's just putting, you know, petrol on the fire. And then post-game, had to come on Fox, had to go on Channel 7 to basically explain his comments. And I just think that that's too many errors. And in the end...
So, but is Mick doing that? Or is
he, Of course he is. Of course he is. Mick's press conference was Mick versus Carlton. It was Mick's message. It wasn't the Carlton message. And as soon as that happened...
The one on Thursday, you're
talking
about.
The one on Thursday.
Or Friday, whatever. Yep. Thursday, I think it
Thursday.
Was.
Thursday. The one on Thursday, as soon as that happened, that they were a club separating. And all it was going to do was embarrass and make the senior hierarchy at Carlton look foolish.
Just to you, Robbo, I just read in the paper today that you believe that Mick was daring the club to sack him.
That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like. That Mick's, I've said it a couple of times for about 3 weeks now. We've got a guy who won't walk and we've got a club who won't sack him. And it's a very untenable situation for both parties. It's so hard. We say this weekly, it's so hard to win games of football. And it's so hard when you're at a football club where the leadership, both off the field and on the field, is at odds. People say fish rots at the head. This is not rotting at the head. This is falling apart. This great relationship is just falling apart. And what happens, players aren't dumb. And this is not the first time in history that it's happened, Plough. Players aren't dumb. Players...
They know.
Of course they know, Kingy.
And what the other thing is, Robbo, in your interview with the Carlton president, he spoke about the fact that all names are on the table for trade. And to me, that was the start of the end.
Because that's not his
portfolio.
No, but I asked him if Stephen Silvani came to him and said, for example, we can get 2 first-round draft picks for Mark Murphy. Mm-hmm. I said, what would you do, A... Would you listen to him and talk to him about it? Or B, would you say to him, the captain's not up for trade? And he answered, I would talk to Stephen Silvani and we'll go through the process. And straight away, if the captain's up for trade, that means everyone's up for trade. And again, it's really easy to have the life sucked out of a playing group, and that's what's happening at the moment. Mick's holding the baby. I disagree with you, Hutto, so much. He said... He inadvertently made a comment on Friday. Mick doesn't inadvertently do anything.
No, he doesn't, mate. I don't think that's what he said last night. But he was saying in his conference on Thursday that the club inadvertently said that they were rebuilding. Now, there was nothing, as Stephen Trigg explained, there was nothing inadvertent about that at all.
This is a club that's not known where they're at for 5 years, Hutto. 5 years.
Yeah, good call, Kenny.
And as soon as they decide that they're at rebuild, the coach says they're not at rebuild.
Well,
it's a complete...
But then last night he was saying, well, I agree, we are at rebuild. It's just the ramifications of that was that it affected the players. We asked Michael Jamieson last night, had that affected the players? And he said no. So again, he was put in the position where he had to disagree with what the coach said.
That's not for the first time this year. I mean, several times players were asked the next day, is Mick's contract talks really affecting the way you're playing?
Zach Toohey was one of
them. Yeah, and he goes, no, they're not. Players will play, but they do need everything. Everyone needs everyone going in the same direction. I think it would be remiss of Mark Ligutice to speak to Mick Malthouse today with Stephen Trigg and say, right, where are we all at? And there's only one answer to that. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of business tomorrow that Carlton and Mick Malthouse have made a decision. Now, that may not happen. It may not happen. But seriously, there is absolutely no reason why this partnership should continue.
Kingy, just Robbo just mentioned then that the players will play, but they're not playing.
This is
2 weeks in a row that they've had 35 tackles, which is the least in this season. So they're just not playing any form of the game. And the one thing you can do as a player, you mightn't have the ability, you mightn't be up to what the opposition teams are doing, but you can get out and have a crack, chase, harass. They're not doing any of that at all.
No, they're not. The pressure gauge we launched again last night, Carlton averaging 170 pressure points per game, and that's the lowest that's ever been recorded by Champion Data. Last night, they went at 154. It didn't even make the base level of our chart. It didn't even get on the graph. And I asked Robbo 3 weeks ago, I asked you guys on 360, what does it look like when there's a disconnect between the absolute 100% buy-in of the playing group and the coach's message and the authority of the coach? And this is what happened at the end probably of your tenure, Terry, that the authority is lost somewhere. The players Correct. Know what's going on.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, it's not that they don't play for you. They want to play well. They want to do everything right. But the subconscious says, I'm not 100% invested in this.
Dermot said a really interesting thing last night, and it's not the first time he said it. I think he said it on Crunch Time a couple of times. When the list manager, not Terry, but the list manager at the football club, becomes more important than the coach.
Correct.
Right, we're in for a hell of a time, and that's exactly what's happened here.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back to Carlton very shortly at 28 minutes past 11. We'll take your calls. I'm actually interested that our callers last night after the game were less... Carlton fans were less passionate and upset than they've been. Like, they've come to that realisation now as well, which is once it gets to that stage, you know that they're in trouble. But we will take some calls. We'll speak to Bryce Gibbs. But there was another team playing last night. Tom Lonigan's been good enough to join us after the Cats 22-8-140 defeated Carlton 9-9-63. Thanks for your time, Tom.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Apologies for the discussion being all about Carlton rather than the winning team last night, but you've been around footy long enough to know why that's the case. But it was a really good performance by the team, and I think one thing Chris Scott was delighted in was the performance of the young players, not for the first time this year, really helped carry the help guide the win.
Yeah, they've been fantastic, the young boys. They keep standing up week in, week out, and, you know, us older boys, I suppose, get a real thrill playing with them, and we just hope they continue to show that form throughout the rest of the year.
Are you sort of like the rest of us trying to judge how good they are or how good your team is as a whole and think what could this amount to in what period of time before the old fellas fall off the cliff?
Well, we know we've got some serious talent there. Corey Gregson and Nikaya Cockatoo and, you know, Darcy Lang, these types. We've got some real good base talent there, and we're just trying to, you know, get as much experience into these guys and, you know, hopefully have another assault on a finals campaign later in the year.
Tom, can I ask you, the first time that I've seen Geelong get their brand back, it's not as clinical and as pure as it used to be off halfback, given the fact that these guys are still probably learning where they're at in their football lives, but 13 goal kickers last night was the most for the year that you've had, most that any club's had this year. It was a fantastic performance, but the way you played is probably the most pleasing part.
Yeah, absolutely, King. I think our mid started it. Sure, I think you know, they got involved, got the hands on the footy, and they also kicked a few goals. And yeah, to have an even spread of goal kickings like that is crucial. And I think you see like teams like Hawthorn and the like, sort of, they always have an even spread of goal kickers, and it goes a long way to winning games.
Tom, just the athleticism that you've thrown into the middle of the ground now with Rhys Stanley coming in and Mark Blicker's development, just the way that he's come on as a player, I think it's really helped. It's helped you spread as well through the middle of the ground.
Yeah, both them guys are, it's such a big asset for us, Terry. We know Mark can run. He can run all day, and he's just learning every week and getting better and better, and I'd go as far to say he'd be in the All-Australian side at the moment, I reckon. And Reece is, he's obviously, everyone knows the athlete he is, and he's just bought into our system, and he's a great fella and just competes, and that's all we ask of him.
Just another one with Josh Caddy. Your two wins, your bookend wins with the Sydney loss in between, I think Josh Caddy's been in your best three or four players in both of those particular victories. Wasn't quite as good last week. I just sort of see him as being such an important player for the footy club going forward. A high draft pick, you invested quite a bit with him with one of Gary Ablett's selections to get him to your football club. He's a bull as a player through the middle of the ground. He just seems like he's going to be very, very important for the future.
Yeah, he is, Terry. Him and, you know, Mitch Duncan, Cam Guthrie, these type of fellas, it's their team now, and they've got to really lead it. We've sort of spoken about it, you know, behind closed doors, that they've got to make it their team and their midfield, and you know, the sooner that these guys realise that, you know, the quicker, I suppose, that, you know, we'll be back in premiership contention, I suppose.
Do you consider Jordan Murdoch a walk-up start now for the senior team?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think he's at that age now. He's played enough footy. He's sort of had a... Yeah, he's learned his craft down the forward half, and he's got that speed. He brings that speed to the team, and I think that's really important for us. We obviously we've got different types through the midfield, and he's just another one that can sort of flow through there, but also go forward and kick goals like we saw last night.
He's been in a bit of a slow burn, I reckon, Jordan. A bit into the team, bit out, bit in. When Geelong goes bad or doesn't have an ideal night, I reckon Murdoch was one of the players that always got dropped from the team, and then he'd disappear for about a month and then he'll come back in. Last night, I reckon, clearly was his best game from the senior team. Do you agree?
Yeah, that's easily been his best game, I'd say, Mark. I think, well, what, he had 26 and kicked 4. I think you take that most days. But
26 and 4, have you ever done that? Have you?
You'd take that, Tommy, wouldn't you?
Nice stat to have, isn't it? he's been learning. He's been doing a lot in the background with the coaches and really working. He's had a lot of issues with his body, a lot of people probably aren't aware of, but... He's a really important player for us, and as I said, his speed and his awareness around goals really critical for us.
Tom, can I ask you about the captain? He was got out at every stoppage last night, but Ed Curnow, right, who did a great job. He did a fantastic job, all within the laws of the game, and it was just a fascination to watch. It's happened a couple of weeks in a row now to Joel. Do you have to... How do you control him? How do you help him through this? I know the team went out of their way last night to put blocks on and that sort of thing, but you just felt there was a boiling point was going to come where Joel was going to do something outside of what he normally does. How do you handle it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd hate to be in his position. It'd be the most frustrating thing to have as a footballer is to have someone hanging off you all day. And I suppose the forward gets that with me a little bit in a sense, but... We've made it a sort of team pact, I suppose, that we want to help out Joel, and we don't want him to do anything silly. And we saw last night we did try to help him out with a few blocks, but it is irritating for him not to be able to be free, I suppose.
Tom, just the opposition, we have to ask you, we spoke before you come on air about how we thought that there was a lack of intensity in the game and you guys were able to really counter-attack through the middle of the ground. We know the situation that they're in, but did you feel or sense that out on the field at all?
No, not at all. Actually, I thought the opposite. I come to the bench at one stage and I was knackered. I thought, although we had a big lead, I thought that it was still quite a high-intensity game, and it might have looked that way a little bit, but certainly when you're out there playing, you don't sort of take much notice of that.
Tom, your last one there, boys, or we'll let him go?
No, go, Hutto.
All right, Tom, appreciate your time. A good performance. Club back at 4-4, and hopefully more wins like that ahead. Thanks for joining us.
Before I go, boys, yep. I'd just like to say well done on that article on social media, players. I thought that was a ripper.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that, pal.
Good on you, mate. Good on you, guys.
Tom Lonigan, there. Some praise for you, Robbo.
Oh, Robbo. Bit of feedback.
Don't be surprised, Hutto and Kingy.
Unsolicited praise from Robbo from a player.
Positive, cost me 100, that.
Positive feedback. We don't normally hear that.
No, you don't. I can't believe that Tom, now that he's gone, I can't believe that Tom said that it looked intense. I mean, 5 minutes into the game last night, Carlton had a later tackle.
And 7 minutes for their first
and
tackle.
Geelong were running down the ground with no one on them. It was amazing. I mean, not for the first time. It was mentioned last night, where is Mitch Robinson? You know what Mitch Robinson would have done last night? The first time he had an opportunity, he would have cracked in Kingy, and he would have gone after Selwood. He would have gone after somebody.
I don't think Mitch was the solution.
No. It's not bringing Mitch in will solve all the problems. But we're talking about an intensity, and he's got it. They got rid of Mitch Robinson. And I've had Carlton people say to me, we don't want to get rid of Mitch Robinson. We actually need more Mitch Robinsons. We need more of them to fight.
We need to break and take calls, and Bryce Gibbs are going to do this. But how do they lay so few tackles, Kenny? How does that happen?
Well, that's a good talking point, because there's no physical pressure around the contest. There's no structural component to how they defend. The Cats kicked four goals from defensive half in the first quarter. The game was over 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
They just waltzed down the field.
You could see that Carlton, like Doom was saying through the first quarter in our commentary, Carlton are playing better than last week. They are trying, but they just couldn't. They couldn't
can't
stop
defend.
The Cats.
They can't defend. And it kicked 22 goals against them last night. Yeah, 22 goals.
Kingy, your stat of 6 goals, 2 on counterpunch in the first half last night. Yeah. You're not doing things right, are you?
An average is 30 points for the year. For a game, sorry.
So that's half-time.
Quick quiz, everyone. When will Mick Malthouse be leaving the football club?
Ooh.
Kingy, go first.
I will say the bye round, but it'll be done this weekend.
Yeah, I think they'll limp to the bye to try and give them, so they'll stick to their narrative of the second half.
Oh,
of the
I
year.
Don't worry about the narrative. There's absolutely no way that Mick Malthouse should be coaching next Friday night. What does that?
I'm
what
not saying what
achieve?
Should happen. I'm saying this what we think will happen.
This is
that
a funny quiz.
That was the question.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Questions normally have an answer too, Rob. That's not really a quiz.
I mean, you'll coach next Friday.
No, your quiz master, Mark Robinson, is going to argue with you if he doesn't give you the, give you the
what,
answer.
It'll be a rough watch Family Feud with Robbo hosting out there.
Could be a new show. Could be something in this. 9429 1116. Your say on Carlton next. Bryce Gibbs to join us also shortly. This is Crunch Time, the Crunch Time quiz with Robbo for Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal.